Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Well, once again, everyone, I'm your host, Ray Shasho, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552, or email us at publicityworksagency.com, and remember, we shine only when we make you shine. And by The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1, one of my new books, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. Available now at bookbaby.com and amazon.com. A special Ronnie James Dio tribute video by Carmine and Vinnie Appice will be releasing soon. This Dio video celebration will commemorate the 10-year anniversary of the passing of the late great singer who died on May 16, 2010 from cancer. The video will be released on Sunday, May 16, 2020 on YouTube and on the internet in general. Besides being a close friend, Vinny was also a longtime musical sidekick of Dio's, performing with him in Black Sabbath and Heaven and Hell. Vinny also performed with Rick Derringer, and as a 16-year-old in 1974, met John Lennon at the Record Plant Studios in New York during the recording of Lennon's classic Walls and Bridges album. Adding background hand claps to the hit single, Whatever Gets You Through the Night. And he is original bandmates from the first Dio lineup, reformed in 2012 as Last in Line to record and perform live. Consummate performer and drummer, Vinny also is a brilliant clinician, performing clinics and master classes all across the globe, as well as making appearances in films and television. He has recorded and co-written songs on over 25 albums and CDs, including many multi-platinum records, touring the world for over two decades, resulting in selling millions of records. Vinny's drumming can also be heard on numerous movie soundtracks, including Wayne's World 2, Heavy Metal, Iron Eagle, and Bedazzled. Vinny, the author of drum instruction book, Rock Steady, and DVD Hard Rock Drumming Techniques, has performed incredible powerhouse drum clinics around the globe also. Numerous books have been written about Black Sabbath and Dio, with the authors always mentioning Vinny's unique, powerful drumming style. Some of the boys that got Vinny's drumming blood flowing: John Bonham, Buddy Rich, Billy Cobham, and Mitch Mitchell. Please welcome legendary drummer, best known for his work with the bands Dio, Black Sabbath, and Heaven and Hell, Vinny Appice, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Vinny.
Hey, how you doing?
Man, you've been with so many bands, I just can't keep up with you.
I got tired after hearing all that. Like, oh my God.
I know, man. And that's just a piece of what you did.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Talk about the tribute to Ronnie James Dio.
We decided to do one of these videos, like I call them virus videos, you know, it's like the Brady Bunch when everybody's in the window and playing together. They're pretty cool. So I called Carmine and said, why don't we do one of those? It would be cool. And we decided to do that, and we chose the song Monsters and Heroes, which is a song on our album that we did 2 years ago. Carmine and I did an album, finally. Right. And that's a song that King Cobra was going to use, but they didn't use it, so Carmine played it for me. I liked it. We decided to put it on our record, and Paul Shortino from Quiet Riot.
Yes.
And a number of other bands wrote the lyrics, and it's all about Ronnie. It's great. It's a really cool tribute to Ronnie. And we decided, let's do that song. song, you know. And then I didn't realize it then for a day or so that the anniversary's coming up. So I thought, how perfect is that? You know, why don't we do the video, get it ready, and then release it to celebrate the anniversary, you know, and think of Ronnie and the tribute to Ronnie on that day. So that's how it came about. It's really a natural thing, the way it came about. We didn't plan it weeks before or anything. It just happened. So we're still working on it now, getting the finishing touches on it and the mix and et cetera.
Yeah, I'm all about these tributes, man. I think it's great. You know, they go for so long without, you know, anything in the limelight, and then all of a sudden you bring it back. I did a little tribute on the air with Kenny Passarelli and Joe Fatale for Tommy Boland not that long ago. So I'm up for all these tributes. These are great.
It's good. It remembers these great musicians, exactly. And you know, makes you think about that day. It makes it think about them on that day. You know, so that's great.
You know, Ronnie. I first got into Ronnie with Elf. You know, he backed up. They backed up Deep Purple a lot. They were associated a lot with the Deep Purple members, and I did not realize what a voice he had in the band before that. You know, where he started, like what in the early Ronnie Dio and the Prophets.
Yeah, and then Elf too. Elf was before that as well.
Yeah. But Ronnie Dio and the Prophets were, they started out way back when, right?
Yeah, that was kind of like a 50s band.
But what a voice the guy had. He was a real crooner, right?
Yeah. He was like, you know, the dude, you know, at the time. And he knew how to sing that stuff, and he had, you know, such great tone in his voice and control. I haven't heard much of that stuff, but I heard some of it. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, there's a lot on YouTube, man. You got to check it out. They do I Left My Heart in San Francisco. it's amazing some of the songs he did. He could have been like the next Frankie Avalon, you know?
We were going to redo that song with Ronnie, but later on, so it was like I Left My Pot in San Francisco.
That's funny.
The hotel room.
What was Ronnie like?
Ronnie was great. You know, he was a fun guy, and we were very close. We shared a lot of the same interests in food and things. And the amazing thing with Ronnie, and I always say this, is that he always remembered everybody's name. So if you met him, and then a year later you met him again, he goes, "Hey, Ray, how you doing?"
Really?
And people are, like, taken aback by that. Like, holy shit, he remembered my name?
Yeah.
You know? Wow, that's incredible. Unlike me, who forgets everybody's name.
Well, I can't remember what I ate for lunch today.
Yeah.
That comes with age.
Yeah, so, you know, he's very, very, very sweet guy, and just easy to get along with. And he loved his fans, you know? He loved his music.
Yeah.
So. And he liked to have a lot of fun, you know. He's a practical joker, and we did have many good, great times together, obviously.
You know, he's such a well-liked individual as well. You know, everybody puts him on a high pedestal when it comes to, you know, heavy metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first time I joined Sabbath, like, in the very beginning, we were playing arenas, and after the show, we'd hang out, party and all that stuff. Then we'd go back to the hotel. Ronnie and I would be in one limo. And we'd leave, and these kids would be outside by the fence when the gate opened, waiting for like a picture or an autograph. But and it was cold out, and they'd been waiting, so the limo pulls up, and we could have went right to the hotel, but Ronnie said, stop the limo. And I'm sitting there going, wow, what's going on? And he gets out of the car, and he goes and signs all the stuff, and he goes and takes pictures with all the fans.
Yeah.
And I thought, how cool is that? So I got out and did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great example of, you know, if it wasn't for the fans, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And so he did that, and I was like, wow, very cool.
Yeah, he's a regular guy, you know? That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to clear up something, you know, the metal horns. I found out that I'm actually 49% Italian. I did not know that.
And, there you go.
And you know, my family, my mom's family was from Spain and Cuba, and they were very superstitious. And my dad's family, they were from Syria, but I found out they came from Italy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but I know the superstition thing, and the horns was actually, wasn't that kind of like against evil, right? It was against the
It was, I think it depends how you do it, which way you do it.
Right.
And, you know, it's called a maloik.
Right.
And I guess that's the Italian description of it. And I think depending on which way you do it, if you point it at somebody, that's like putting the horns on somebody.
Right, right. The evil eye.
More evil, yeah. And then yeah. The other way, I don't know, maybe it's supposed to deflect the evil.
Right.
You know, Ronnie used that for a very long time. He saw it a long time ago. He got it from his grandmother.
Sure. That makes sense.
You know, she used it. She didn't sing and she didn't have a band, so I guess Ronnie sold it, and it became his trademark, you know?
Yeah, but, you know
even though Gene Simmons says he invented it.
Well, Gene says he invented everything.
Yeah, he did.
I just don't like it when, you know, you're at a, you know, these guys think that it means the devil horns mean, you know, like, you know, Satan and this and that and whatever. It's really not that at all.
Actually, the best way to find out exactly what it means is probably go to Google and
right.
put it in there and see where it came from, the history of it,
exactly.
You know, but it is, I heard it was both putting evil on and
right,
collecting
right.
the evil from somebody. Yeah,
we believe the same thing. My dad always carried a hand, and the hand did the same thing, you know. If somebody, yeah. you know, the evil eye, you know, somebody's, you know, trying to do something to you, you shake it at them, you know.
right. You know,
very similar cultures.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, man, I want to talk about Last in Line. That's a heck of a group.
I
love it. It's probably one of the best bands you've been in that, I mean, I really, really dig that band.
Yeah, it's a great band, and, you know, we really have fun playing together. We have fun hanging out and going on the road together. It's a fun band, and everybody's extremely talented in it, and it just really works. It gels very well musically, the way we play together. And thank you very much for that. I mean, we love doing stuff. We're working on a third album now.
Awesome.
We've been slowed down by this thing going on
right.
in the world, but we're pretty much working on it slowly but surely. So hope to get that out maybe by the end of the year or next year, and then when everything starts up again, we'll be ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
But it's great. It's great playing with Vivian again. You know, Viv is such a great guitar player, and we have such a feel, we lock in together, you know, that it's just really solid, you know, that's from all the years of playing together, I guess. And then Phil Soussan's on bass, who is just amazing, you know. Jimmy Bain, our original bass player, as everybody knows, passed away.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And Phil is in that family, you know, he's from the same time, and we've known him for years, and he came in and he just filled it out, right? Anyway, so he just completed the circle, and then we got Andy Freeman, who's a friend of mine from way back, and he just sings his bloody ass off.
He does.
And,
great voice.
He's an amazing singer, yeah, great voice, great writer. He's a great guy.
Some of the songs he does reminds me a little of Chris Cornell. You know, you can kind of hit that, you know, Cornell sound, which I like.
Very strong singer, sings from the soul, you know, very important, you know. Across that way.
I guess the first album, what a song, Star Maker, man. That I love that tune.
Yeah, that became pretty popular, so we play that live.
Right.
And all the girls like that one, too. They all sing it. And
well, that's important.
Yeah, that's a good song. So the third album, the stuff we're working on now, is really cool, too.
When do you think that will come out?
It's fun to create with this band, to create and write music together. do it all together.
When do you think the third album will be released?
It's coming along great. We got 6 songs down, recorded. We are at solos right now. Viv's going to do some solos on them and then do some vocals with Andy. But it sounded killer, man. It's just, a progression of the last 2 albums and high energy and just some really good songs and hooks and melodies and stuff and playing. So, should be great.
Very, very, very powerful, man. I can't wait to see this played live, you know?
Yeah, we take it.
Yeah.
We take it live. It's fun stuff to play.
I hope this band sticks around for a little while.
Yeah. Well, we intend to, keep doing this and trying to build it up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the world needs this. The world needs this kind of music.
We're not one of these bands on paper that looks good on paper with a bunch of name players and they get together and then they do one album and then it falls apart.
Yep.
We're not that. We're a real band. So that's why we've already done 2 albums, a bunch of tours, and we would have been playing right now, but we had to push the dates back.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be out there as soon as everybody else is out there. Everybody's going to come out at the same time. There's so much music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
crazy.
A lot of albums are going to be released around the same time, too, because they're holding back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're doing good.
Awesome.
Having fun.
Well, the band is incredible, man. I'm I can't wait for the third album, for sure.
Thank you.
I've talked to Carmine a couple of times. I had him on the show. Great.
I'm sorry about that.
I know how older brothers can be.
Yeah, the older brother.
Yeah. Were you guys pretty competitive when you were kids?
No. He was 11 years older than I was.
Oh, okay.
So he was kind of out of the house already, but, I used to go see him play. My parents would take me. And my sister would go see Carmine play with the Vanilla Fudge, and he was very successful. So I saw all that going on, and I saw him playing drums. He's on TV, and I was like, "Wow, I want to do this." That's what got me going. So we don't really compete against each other. We do a show together.
Yep.
A night with us, and we do all music from our history. We got a great band, and we push each other. There's a little bit of drum stuff in there. And that's the only time it gets a little competitive. We try to kick each other's ass a little bit.
That's cool.
That's good for the audience. They get to see a good show,
Yeah.
High energy and stuff.
Carmine's a good guy. He's a great interview as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got something going on, too. He doesn't sit still.
He doesn't sit still, yeah. We talked about a lot of stuff, including investments and things like that. We got out of hand.
Oh, no.
I actually...
he's the Donald Trump of rock.
Yeah, I think so. Him and Gene Simmons, huh?
Him and Gene Simmons, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of talked to him about some... I bought a lot of pot stocks, And at the time, I told him... I think I emailed him what I had. And they were going down considerably when I sent it to him, but now they're going up. So I don't know if you took my advice or not.
Yeah.
It's not my fault.
You can buy stock and pot.
Yeah. It's got to be the thing of the future, I think. Especially now.
Yeah, unbelievable. I stopped smoking. I used to smoke a lot in the 80s.
Right.
With Lonnie.
Yep.
All the albums we've done, a lot of it was written when we were stoned and jamming and things like that,
Yeah.
And then I stopped smoking a long time ago. I just stopped, and now it's legal, and it's like, yeah, figures, right? I stopped, and it just comes legal. You can get it everywhere.
Yeah.
It's amazing, but that's good,
Yeah. Well, I believe
A lot of medicinal music,
exactly.
Too, so.
Yeah. Just listen to Tommy Chong. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Those guys are ahead of their time.
Yeah, he's 80, man.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. To talk about the time you met John Lennon, that was, you were pretty young at the time, right?
I was like 16, and our band was managed by the Record Plant Studios in New York.
Right.
And our good friend was Jimmy Iovine, who produced us, and John Lennon as well, and many other people. And we had a rehearsal room up there in New York City at the Record Plant, and it was just our room. It was great. So we did, they called us down one night. Jimmy said, can you do hand claps, you guys? So my band went down. There were nine of us. We had four home players. We went down and go in the room, and there's John Lennon. We go, holy shit, I can't believe this. It's John Lennon. So we put the headphones on. Then he starts talking to us right in the headphones, and you just heard his voice so many times.
Yeah.
But now he's talking to you. It's pretty amazing. And so we wound up doing hand claps on Whatever Gets You Through the Night.
Yep.
That's me and my band. And we also did a bunch of videos with them. And we did a live show at the New York Hilton that was taped for TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very big affair. And I came to find out a couple of years ago that that's his last live appearance with John Lennon.
Oh, wow.
So, huh. Who would have known? I played one of the Beatles. Last show, kid from Brooklyn, 16 years old. Oh, shit. That's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was an amazing experience, and wouldn't trade it for the moon.
Yeah.
You know?
What was he like?
I wish I would have asked him for his autograph.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be a fan there.
Right. You're too cool for that.
None of the band did, and he used to come up and hang out with us in the room, smoke joints with him. We'd play pool.
Yeah.
Because he felt safe. We weren't taking pitches. Bothering him.
Exactly.
We were just hanging out as musicians, and he really liked the band. The band was very good. Very tight band. And so that's the problem when you start, acting like a fan, and he's not going to
want to
talk so much. So.
Yeah, I never get autographs from anybody. I'll get a picture. That's about it, you know?
Yeah. I don't either.
Yeah.
There's only certain people I'd really want an autograph of, but,
Yeah.
Pictures are cool. Hey, let's take a picture.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But was John, was he funny? I always hear he's kind of a jokester kind of guy.
He was funny.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember, man. That was 1975.
I know.
It's like, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, he was very cool. Bit of a jokester and very nice guy. I was really surprised.
Right.
Very cool, down there. He even rewrote one of our songs we did.
Really?
He rewrote the lyrics for us.
You're kidding me. Huh.
Called it Incantation, which is a cool title. And he rewrote it for us, and it worked great. That's what we used.
Wow. That's incredible. Have you written a book yet? I know you do a lot of the lessons, instruction books, and things like that. What about an autobiography?
Yeah, everybody's telling me you should actually write a book, and I'm going to do that. I'm putting down some notes and thoughts now, but I haven't gotten full swing into it yet. You know, because I play with a lot of different people.
Yes, you have.
And, there's a lot of different stories.
Yeah.
Not just one band and one point of view from one band. It's all these other, experiences that I've had along the journey of this musical career. So I'll get to it,
Well, start keeping a journey before you forget,
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. You forget. I forgot about that.
Exactly. Joe Vitale, he sent me his book, which was incredible. I mean, it's
I have his book, too, yeah.
All the pictures in that book, he took a ton of photos, man.
Yeah. That's why it's good to take photos.
Yeah. And they're
especially
all in color,
too. With musicians.
Yeah.
I'm known, and you go work with somebody, you go, hey, let's take a picture together.
Right.
It's good to keep.
Yep. Especially if the guy passes on, and then you got that picture forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the guys you worked with lives real close to me, actually probably about 10 minutes from me, is Rick Derringer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where are you? Where's that?
I'm in in Bradenton.
Oh, in Florida.
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been down there to Rick's house a long time ago.
Right.
And, we did a reunion, with the band.
Yep.
So, we went down and hung out there, rehearsed there, and then we went to Europe, I think it was. Played some gigs there. That was fun. Rick's great. What a great guy. What a great player.
He is. Yeah. He's got a nice wife, too. She's real nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jenda, right?
Jenda, yeah. Well, I heard when you first joined Black Sabbath, is it true you were forced to learn the band's song on stage? You didn't have much of a rehearsal time, or?
No, we didn't. No, I came back in town, and my wife at the time said, somebody from Black Sabbath called.
Uh-huh.
And here's the number. I went, oh. So I called, and it was a tour manager, and he said, his name was Paul Clark. Paul said that Sabbath had a gig in Denver at the McNichols Arena,
right,
which is not there anymore, and Bill Ward didn't show. So they had to cancel, postpone the gig, and they came to L.A. because they had 4 days off. And now they're looking for a drummer. And my name came up and wanted to know if I wanted to come down and meet Tony Iommi. I said, oh, wow, yeah, sure, great. So I went down and met Tony that night, and Tony was really cool. We hit it off well, and he listened to some of my previous stuff. He liked it. And then he invited me to go down to the rehearsal the next day. And that's when I went down the next day. That's when I met Ronnie and Kaiser and Jeff Nichols, the keyboardist.
Yep.
And we started, playing. I said, what songs, I didn't really know that many Sabbath songs because I wasn't a huge Sabbath fan.
Yeah.
But we started with Neon Nights because I heard it on the radio and I thought, it was really a good song, and I wasn't familiar with Dio either, and I heard Ronnie sing that song, and I went, wow, the new singer from Sabbath is pretty good, not knowing, it's going to become my best friend.
Yeah.
And so I played that, and then we started, played another couple of things, and they liked it, and then they asked me, to do the gig. But it was under the pretense that until Bill Ward comes back.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah. So we only had 4 days to rehearse. So the first day we played a little bit, a couple songs, and then everybody was so happy they wanted to go to the pub. So they went to the pub. I stayed in a rehearsal room and worked with the keyboard player, Jeff, to go over and try to learn the songs, Because we didn't have much time. And then the next day we did the same thing. Got together, we rehearsed a little more, went over some songs, then they went to the pub again. So by the third day, we realized, there's not much time. There's two more days. So that day we rehearsed for a long time. And then by the last day, everybody was getting a little nervous. It's a lot to learn,
Right. Yeah, definitely.
There's like 15 songs, and some of those old Sabbath songs are kind of strange with timings and parts and where they went. So so that's what happened. So I had to make a cheat sheet, like a book, because I read music, but I wrote, kind of cheat sheets, not part music, part comments. And that's what I used to get through the gig, except it started raining, and somehow the book got wet. The book wasn't very good after a while. It shriveled up a little bit, and then halfway through I couldn't even use it, so I had to throw it out. And then I threw it out in the audience at the end of the gig, so somebody's got that book. I should have kept it, but I just thought, wow, this is useless. I signed it and I threw it out, and that's how we got through the gig. We had to wing it. It was a little bit nerve-wracking for everyone.
I can't even imagine.
Ronnie and Tony and Jesus.
I can't even imagine. Now, Heaven and Hell came about. How did Heaven and Hell come about? Because it's essentially the Sabbath crew,
Well, the band Heaven and Hell, right?
Yes.
That's what you're talking about.
Right.
Well, the band came about because the record company at the time, which was Rhino Records,
right?
They wanted to release a Dio Years album So it was Black Sabbath, the Dio years. So they put together all the Dio years songs, and then they asked Tony and Ronnie and everybody to, if they wanted to do a couple of new songs that would really be good, you know, that would sell, sell the record more. So they said to agree to it, which was great. And that's what brought Heaven and Hell together. But originally it was Bill Ward on drums. And, they decided, we'll write three songs and, you know, do it like that. So, so Bill was involved at first.
Right.
And then, so they started working on it, but it was really taking a lot of time, you know, with Bill. And, they were starting to get a little impatient with how long it was taking. And this was in England. So they decided to move on and, they said, let's call Vinny. So they called Vinny and I flew into England and I haven't seen everybody in a while. So that was, you know, pretty cool that we got back together. So we did, went and hung out, and then within a couple of days, and I had all three songs down. You know, it was quick. So we did that, and then that came out, and then they said, well, why don't we do some touring? You know, that would be cool. That would be the next step for the band. So we put together a tour, and then we did the first tour, 2007, and it went over really, really well. It was a great show, too. It was us and Judas Priest. I mean, you can't get better than that.
Great lineup. Yeah.
And then that led to let's do an album. So we did an album, and then we did another tour, and then we were going to keep it going, but that's right around when Ronnie got sick.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So we couldn't really... we didn't know what was going to happen. We were planning on going out in the summer, and Ronnie got sick like at the end of 2009.
Yeah.
So, and then we realized, well, this is not going to happen, you know. Ronnie's not doing well. So we played great together. We were really happy that we did get together.
Sure.
And the band was, you know, in top form. And we had a great time.
Yeah.
So, it's just unfortunate with Ronnie, you know. And as I said before, I played Neon Nights as the first song when I met Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
When I went down to audition with Sabbath. And on the last show of the tour, the last song I played with him was Neon Nights.
Really?
So it's really, you know, a strange thing that... span of 30 something years.
Yeah.
Start with a song and end with a song.
Yeah.
Sounds like the end of the play, you know?
Yeah.
The end of the show. So, but what a great journey.
Great.
Had a great time.
Oh, great time. You never know. They may call you again.
Yeah, you never know, but not Ronnie.
You know, the guys are still, you know, like Geezer.
Oh, yeah, Tony Geezer, yeah.
Yeah, they're still
rocking.
They're still rocking. I mean, Ozzy, I don't know how much time he's got left.
Yeah, he's kind of, I don't know. I haven't heard anything, and I wish him the best, you know.
Yeah.
That's really, Ozzy was always full of energy, and he didn't stop, you know. And I wish him the best that... you know, he gets somewhat better and keeps making some music, you know. People love Ozzy.
I talked to I'm Facebook friends with, and I've interviewed him, a couple of Lee Kerslake, you know, from Uriah Heep.
Yeah,
he worked with Ozzy. The Blizzard of Oz, I guess he was on there, and he never got credit, and he finally got credit. Finally got credit recently for that album. Yeah,
he's actually, I met him... when was that? I think the NAMM show before the one that just happened. So that was 2019. And that was really cool meeting him. And him,
nice guy. Yeah.
Carmine and I hung out a lot, you know. And he was a phenomenal drummer, you know.
Yeah.
Just the shit he played on those, on that Ozzy records is incredible, you know. And then I heard he didn't get credit.
Nope.
I was like, wow.
Finally, you got it.
working in the music business.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tough business. People don't realize it, you know. And the you cut an album, you know, and do a tour, and your bottom line is not as much as people think after you all the expenses, you know.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So yeah, so but he was really cool, and they finally gave him. He didn't even have a gold record or a platinum record of it.
No.
And then that night, they presented him with the record. He's so happy, you know.
Yeah.
It was really a nice thing to see.
Yeah, and he's struggling health wise too. Poor guy.
Yeah, he's got some problems, I heard too.
Yeah. Well, so, I want to say
we wish him the best too.
Yep.
Please.
Yep. Me too. Congratulations on being inducted into the Hall of Heavy Metal History. For heavy metal drumming. That happened in January of 2017. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, finally got inducted to something.
Yeah. Well, I believe you should be in the Hall of Fame, just for all the people you've been associated with and playing with. You know.
Well, that Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is pretty much a joke.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
I mean, come on.
It is. I agree.
The people that have had to wait to get in.
Yep.
That they didn't put in, like Black Sabbath
right.
and Deep Purple, and you know, they put all these other people in that not even rock, first of all.
Exactly.
And then don't deserve to be in there before some legendary bands like Sabbath and whoever else didn't get in, you know. So, it's kind of a joke.
It is a joke. When they put in the Beastie Boys, they said, come on. Who the hell they got to do with rock?
I mean, they're big, they're huge, they're great, but, you know, Sabbath didn't get in.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Sabbath influenced so many people and started a whole type of music, you know, a sound of music, created a sound that was amazing. And who's done that, you know?
Not many. There hasn't been many heavy metal bands from the 60s, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably say your brother's band might be one of them, you know?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they're in there. Vanilla Fudge?
Yeah, Vanilla Fudge?
I don't think they're in there, no.
No? You don't think they're in that category?
I don't think they're in the Hall of Fame, no.
No, no. I mean, heavy metal. The heavy metal category?
Oh, they're not heavy metal, no.
No,
they're rock.
You don't think they started out in heavy metal?
Actually, even Sabbath, you wouldn't call it so much heavy metal, you just want heavy rock.
Right.
Know? Metal's more like Megadeth and Metallica, maybe, you know, things like that.
But, right.
Yeah, so I've been to that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I scratched my head going, huh? Who's that?
I know.
There?
I agree with you 100%.
Not even Ronnie's not even in there. I think they mentioned
that's sad.
Some sort of a sound mixing board in there, and it mentions his name, and that's it.
That's really sad, you know. I mean,
yeah, ridiculous.
He's so respected among the music artists and the fans, and it's crazy. It really is. How old are you, Vinny?
What's that?
How old are you?
I'm 16 Celsius. Go figure it out.
Good answer. Because you said you were in 1975, you were about 16 or 15 or something like that?
75 is about 17.
Okay, so we're close in age. That's why I was asking. I'm I'm 61. So, yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah, I'm 61 as well. So
we grew up with the same music. Yeah, we grew up with the same tastes and everything, I think.
Yeah. So, but I changed it to Celsius sound.
I don't blame you.
So I got to go in about 5 minutes. So
okay. I got a good question for you. This is a question I ask everybody, and I get some really interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
I'd love to play with Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
What a phenomenal thing that would be.
Yeah.
My God.
You could do it. You could fill in.
who knows what they're up to. I don't know. I don't really know them. I never even met Jimmy Page. Actually, I met Sean Paul Jones.
So did I. I met him too. Yeah. But
that would be something cool.
Yeah. All right. I asked Jack Bruce. I said, "Who's a better blues guitar player, Eric Clapton or Jimi Hendrix?" And of course, he said Eric Clapton. But who's the better drummer? You or Carmine?
Oh, I am. I sure. I far. I don't even have to think of that. Yeah. I'm louder and faster. I'm more powerful and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell him that next time I talk to him.
Yeah, when you talk to him.
Let me tell you, man, you both of you are legendary drummers. You're both incredible, and I think it's so rare to have brothers that are two incredible drummers the way you guys are. You know, it's a rarity.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd that we play the same instruments. You know,
yeah,
Eddie Van Halen and Alex, but they play two different instruments. So we are. You know, drummers, and it, you know, for our careers, obviously, we never played together until recently, the last 5 years, when we started doing, hey, why don't we, you know, do a show together?
Exactly.
It would be cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we did an album on SPV Records. That's
right.
Just the name of us. It's called Sinister, but it's by us.
Right.
And it's really good. It's a really good record. There's a lot of people on it.
Yep.
A lot of guest stars.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out great, you know. We had a great production on it, and that was a lot of fun to do.
I'll go ahead and promote
it. It's a very odd album because we're playing on it together, you know.
Sure.
Not every song, but we're still playing on it together.
Right.
So.
Well, I'm a big fan of Last in Line, man. I got to tell you, and I'm looking forward. I hope you guys come to Florida, you know, when this shit is all over.
Well, we did do Florida. We did. What the hell did we do? Oh shit! I gotta look on the thing. It was a place I never heard of before, but it was really nice.
Right.
And then we did St. Petersburg.
Oh, St. Petersburg. It's close to me. Very close to me.
Yeah, we just played that. When was that? That was probably shit in February.
Okay.
Oh no, not February. No, it can't be February. Maybe November.
Okay.
End of November.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Toward the end of last year, yeah, we did the two gigs because we'd never been there.
Right.
And everybody's going, come to Florida, come to Florida. So we only had those two gigs for some reason.
Yep.
And we did real well, man. There were a lot of people, and everybody loved it. So hopefully we'll get back on the road. We can get to Florida and do a bunch of gigs, you know.
That'd be great, man.
That'd be the way to do it.
So. Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to promote? Anything out there that you want to...
You know, the video coming out Saturday
for
Ronnie, and then we'll be finishing up Last in Line doing that.
Yep.
And just, you know, check the websites, mine and the bands, and that'll keep you up to date as to what we're all doing, you know.
Okay,
but,
great.
And everybody be safe, and we'll get through this together, you know, and get back to some live music, which will be nice.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Vinny, for being on the show today, man. And
all right, thank you, Ray. You take care, right?
I appreciate it. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
For more information about Vinny Appice and Carmen Appice and Ronnie James Dio, visit Vinny is at www.vinnyappice.com. Carmine is at www.carmineappice.net. Ronnie James Dio website is www.ronniejamesdio.com. And also the band Last in Line, incredible band. Fantastic musicians, new album coming out, www.lastinlineofficial.com. You can also purchase the latest release from Vinny Appice and Last in Line, entitled 2, at amazon.com. Very special thanks to John Lappin Enterprises for arranging this interview with Vinny Appice and the dynamic duo, of course, of Doug and Don Newsom of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. And please, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. Hey, it's real news, people. And, of course, my new book is finally out, entitled The Rockstar Chronicles Series 1. I hope to do at least two or three more. It chronicles truths, confessions, and wisdom from the music legends that set us all free. Order yours today on hardcover, which is the best way to go, or ebook, at bookbaby.com or amazon.com. It features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. And we thank you. Have a great week, everybody, and please stay safe.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.